So a gentleman by the name of Joseph Scriven. Joseph was born on September 10th, 1819, a long time ago in Ireland. Now, his parents had the financial means to take good care of Joseph. They sent him off to a school and gave him as much educational opportunities as possible. Joseph enrolled in a college in Dublin, where he graduated with a bachelor's degree. And that was pretty uncommon back in the early 1800s. And in this young man, Ireland had a lot of anticipation for what this young man was going to do throughout Ireland. With his aspirations, with his ideals, the sky was the limit for Joseph Scriven. Now, Joseph fell in love with a young lady, and he was truly eager to spend the rest of his life with this woman. However, on the day before his wedding with her, she fell from her horse. And she was on a bridge and fell from her horse and landed into the river where she drowned. And he was standing on the other side of the bridge and watched her drown. Joseph stood there hopelessly, not being able to do anything for her. In an effort to overcome his sorrow, Scriven began to wander. But at the age of 25, his travels took him to Port Hope, Canada, where he tried to start anew in his life. And he became highly regarded by the people in Canada. He tutored some of the local children for their schoolwork. He met a wonderful young lady. Her name was Elisa, and they fell in love. They had plans to get married. Just prior to their wedding, tragedy struck again. And Elisa got sick with pneumonia, and she passed away. Scriven lost two women in his life. And as he continued on in life, he labored, he worked with impoverished widows, and he felt called to really help the sick people in Canada. And he often worked for no wages. He often would take the clothes that he owned and give them to the people who were poor. And on occasion, Joseph himself would find himself ill. And in one time in particular, Joseph found himself ill. And there was a friend who was visiting Joseph. And as his friend came to see Joseph at his bedside, the friend saw a poem that was sitting right next to his bed. And he asked Joseph who wrote this poem. And Scriven said, "The Lord and I did it between us." Now, he thought the poem would bring some spiritual comfort to his mom, who was living back in Ireland. And Scriven really intended for no one to ever see this poem. And on August 10th, 1886, Scriven's body was pulled out of the water in Ontario. And in Ontario, there's been two monuments that have been erected in his honor. And each of those monuments had the first stanza of his song engraved on it. There's a man by the name of Charles Converse, who was an attorney and who was a composer. And he wrote the musical setting for this poem. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Samuel. Samuel was a faithful man. Samuel was a prophet who took everything to God in prayer. Today's message is a continuation of our old stories for new times. And this Old Testament prophet was a man who helped Israel transition from the rule of judges into this rule of kings. Now, most of the time when we speak of Samuel, we're often reminded by the story of Samuel and Eli. It's a great story on calling. It's a story on obedience unto God. And it's just so natural for us to go with that story. But today, I feel called to take us in a different direction. And let's go past that call story for a moment. And I'd like for you to open up the scriptures to 1 Samuel chapter 8 this morning, verses 1 through 9. And I have Faith Olson, who's going to read that for us. So, Faith, come on up. Channel 32.
Okay, I think it's going to be on the screen, or you can just listen to my beautiful voice reading it. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judge over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took him bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint us for a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are also only doing to you. Now then, obey their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them, and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them."
Thanks, Faith. You know, Samuel wasn't happy whenever the Israelites were saying, "Give a king to rule over us." So Samuel goes into a time of prayer unto the Lord. And as we can see here by the scriptures, Samuel's immediate reaction demonstrates that he knew what the people were asking was extremely bad. Why was it bad? Well, Samuel was able to quickly see that it was bad because Samuel didn't forget history. Samuel remembers the story that came out of Leviticus chapter 23 when we hear these words. "And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation, which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them." You see, God was calling Israel to be different, not like everybody else, not like the rest of the nations, like Pastor Anna was saying. They didn't have to follow the crowd, you might say. And they were in fact rejecting Samuel as a judge. But most importantly, what we see here through the scriptures, they weren't just rejecting Samuel as a judge, they were rejecting God as their king. So let's look a little bit more intently into verse 7. "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" So when we look and we compare the people of that time to the people of today, we quickly can discover that we're not too entirely different from them. That we like to get our fidget spinners too and follow the ways of the world. And what we see here was God was still using Samuel as his vessel. Even though they were rejecting him as a judge, they still respected him as a prophet. Samuel isn't immediately swayed here by the Israelites. He goes and he warns them about what could happen if they have a king. Now, Israel's getting a little pushy here. They want a king. So Samuel takes this into prayer. And he prays about how to respond. And in this prayer time with God, God grants the request of the Israelites. Not of Samuel, but of the Israelites. And Samuel was deeply concerned about the letting the Israelites have a king. And the first thing Samuel did was go to God in prayer. Samuel was quick to consult with God. And it helped with his decision. You know, many of us go to God in prayer with so many important decisions in our lives. But how many of us are ready to abide by what God has in store for us? How many of us are willing to accept God's counsel and abide by it, especially when it goes against our own desires? If you're a leader in any fashion, whether you're a leader at school, whether you're a leader at work, whether you're a leader in your community, or whether you lead at home, wherever you're a leader, you can find this example from Samuel about the power that Samuel derived from God. By going to God in prayer, by developing a healthy relationship with God first and foremost, and having a healthy prayer life. Samuel was a great man of prayer, and his people respected him for it. Now, even though Samuel was aware of evil in Saul's life, he never stopped praying and mourning for Saul. Samuel described it as a sin not to pray for the people under his care. Samuel even bypassed his sons. Faith read it to us here just a moment ago. Because the sons wanted more for themselves. They perverted justice. And Samuel knew that, and he went past his sons because of his obedience to God first. And God spoke to Samuel multiple times. And as we go into chapter 9, we see that Samuel, that God laid on Samuel's heart to give Saul that first responsibility as being king of Israel. You know, good listening to God's voice through prayer is a powerful tool in discernment. How often do we all take time throughout the day to go to God in prayer? It's a powerful tool as we discern between what we should do and what God is calling us to and what we should not do. And it's also a way of God's grace to be utilized in the lives of others. Even in the toughest of moments, when others are demanding your attention, just like Samuel, I challenge you here today to be reminded of the first place that you should go, to prayer and to discernment. As we close out this message here today. I'd like for you to hear the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And as you see these words on the screen, I want you to be reminded. I want you to be reminded of the power of taking all things to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Listen to these words here. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. You get that? The peace that we often forfeit and we give up in our lives. Oh, the needless pain that we bear, that we take on in our lives all the time. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials? Do you have temptations? Is there trouble anywhere in your life? We should not be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend that's so faithful who will all of our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak? Are we heavy laden? Are we cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise you? Sometimes maybe forsake you? If so, take it to the Lord in prayer. And in His arms, He'll take and He'll shield you. And in Jesus, you'll find that solace there. Maybe these words resonate with you today. Maybe you're going through some trials. Maybe you're going through some temptations. Maybe you're going through struggles with friends. Maybe some people are forsaking you. Maybe you're not experiencing peace in your life right at this moment. And you can go to God in prayer in so many different ways. You can go to God in prayer silently. You can go to God in prayer up front here on a Sunday morning. You can go to God in prayer with a prayer group. You can call a friend and have a time of prayer with them. You can sit around the dinner table with your family and pray to God with one another. When we go to God in prayer, we find a comfort that's usually unexplainable. A peace that can only be found through Christ. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, we hear these words. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Samuel says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen is better than the fat of rams. All the importance on rituals and sacrifices of the Old Testament, Samuel's saying, when we go to God in prayer, when we have that conversation with the Lord, isn't it better to listen to the voice of God than to be able just to go through the motions? And so as we come to a close here today, Pastor Anna will be up here, I'll be up here. And maybe you just want to come up and pray silently at one of the kneelers. But maybe there's something going on in your life that you just need to lay at the foot of the cross today. And just say, God, I surrender it to you. I'm going to take it to you in prayer. Thanks be to God for this old story. For Samuel's faithfulness, for his obedience unto God, and for what we can learn from this prophet as Samuel listened to God and as Israel received a king. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, speak to us here today. Our lives come from many different directions. Some of us are coasting in life, living life to the fullest, and thank you, Lord, that that might be the case. But for others who are here today, we might not have peace. We might be experiencing needless pain because we think that we can take it all on our own and try to handle it all by ourselves. But what your word has taught us here today, O Lord, is that the first thing that we should do is to take things to you in prayer. Maybe our relationships, maybe our jobs, maybe our finances, our marriages, our children, our parents, and so much more. To bathe these things in prayer, O Lord, and to give them to you first. Because, Lord, you know our every weakness, and it is you who can give us that strength to go forward. And if we need someone in our lives to walk with us, Lord, may these people rise up. And may we find them, O Lord, and walk beside them. And them beside us. For Lord, we are a community of faith. Bound together in prayer. Bound together by the power of your Holy Spirit. Do a powerful and mighty work for your kingdom and also within our own hearts and minds. Lord, speak to us this day. For this we pray in the precious name of Christ our Savior. Amen.